at the end of His earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ called His apostles together before His ascension and committed to them His final orders. His words are recorded in all four Gospels in somewhat different fashion, but the essence of all those Gospels is this: go you into all the world and preach the Gospel. That has been called by Bible scholars and theologians the Great Commission. Unfortunately for most in Christianity today, it has become the Great Omission. All too few of us, all too few times, are faithful to accomplish that which we have been commissioned to do. Some people object and say, well, that was a commission that was given solely to the apostles and does not apply to us. Think about that, if you would, for just a moment. If that be true, then the only thing on the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ before His ascension was a small group of people in the world living at one time. Obviously, the 12 apostles could not by themselves literally go into all the world. They would need those who would accompany them on their journey. And even if somehow it was physically possible that 12 men could get to every place in the world in their lifetime had a limitation to it. And when they came to the end of their lifetimes, if that ministry was only committed to them, then God was not concerned about the generations that would follow them. Think about that. God then would not be concerned about you and I. That obviously is not the case. God is concerned about you and I. God loves you and I. Therefore, the commission given to the 12 is a commission given to each and every Christian. You and I have a responsibility of going into our world, whether it be the totality of the earth's surface as much as humanly as possible, or simply in the area that God has put us for the time in which we are, and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. And as I have mentioned, the Great Commission for most has become the Great Omission. Some people will say, well, I would like to, but I just don't know how. I'm putting you on notice right now. If that is you, by the end of the next few minutes as we study the passage in Luke's Gospel that's before us, you will not have that excuse. In fact, you will be responsible before God for the commission that has been given to you. But I also want to encourage you that within the passage that's before us is also the ability, the equipment that you need to accomplish that which Jesus Christ commands you. So it's not I can't do this thing. Within just a couple of minutes, you'll be able to say, I can do this. The passage before us in Luke chapter 5 is a passage whose next to the last verse 10 of our passage, contains familiar words: fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. It's the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and out on the Sea of Galilee, and how there was a miraculous catch of fish, and how the Lord used that in Peter's life to change him from a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. I want to give you some instruction this morning on how to be fishers of men. Read along with me, if you will, the first couple of verses of chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that would be the Lord Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also called the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. What's interesting about this story in Luke's gospel is Luke does not record for us all the details and occurrences in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would go to John's gospel, the first chapter, you would find out that prior to this, the Lord Jesus Christ had met up with Peter, or as he's called here, Simon. It was a time when they were in Jerusalem, and Andrew, the brother of Peter, had found out about this person named Jesus, the Christ, recognized him as Israel's Messiah, and Andrew first went and found his brother Peter and brought him to Christ. And there was a declaration on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ at this point in time that he was Simon Bar-Jonah, but in time he would be called Cephas, a rock. It was at this point in time that I believe Peter came to a relationship with Jesus. He recognized him as Israel's Messiah. I believe possibly even at this time he recognized him as his own personal Savior. But there was no call to ministry given to Peter at this time in Jerusalem. We find Peter coming to Christ and then going back to his vocation up in Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee. He was a fisherman. And throughout the course of his ministry and in the time to come, Jesus just happened to come by where Peter was. The crowds were pressing in on him to hear the word of God, and the Lord Jesus got in one of the boats, which was Peter's. And Peter had no objections, knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And he said to Peter, "I want you to row out just a little bit. Here are all these people. They need to hear the word of God. And if you row out just a little bit, it'll be like a natural amphitheater here. I'll be able to teach the multitudes." Something Peter was going to learn in this, and he was going to catch a vision of the Savior's heart. Understand that Peter was in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter wasn't just a nonchalant or a non-observant hearer. He was sitting in the boat with Christ. He was a captive audience. He was hanging on every word. And he was seeing the Lord speaking to this people and teaching him the Word of God. Peter saw the Lord and his heart and how the Lord wanted to communicate God's Word to man that was following him, because these people were pressing upon him. They had a great need to hear the Word. And may I say to you, the greatest need of mankind today is to hear the Word of God. And you say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor. It might be their greatest need, but they don't realize it." You know what? I think they do. I was watching the Syracuse-Pittsburgh basketball game last night. And when the game was over, I started flipping through the channels, looking for something else to occupy my time before I fell asleep occupying my time. And I was going through and I came across the comedy channel, which I have never lasted more than 15 seconds with, because I don't find much comedy there. I find gross stuff usually. But they had a stand-up comic that was doing his thing, and it was interesting. Just as I got to it, he said, "Don't you wish we would learn that we can't legislate morality?" Well, that caught my attention right away. I said to myself, "I got to see what this character is going to say." He said, "Don't you wish we could take back our country from the religious conservatives?" And I said, "Well, now that really got my attention. I want to see what he has to say." And he said, "Don't you really hate these people that quote scripture to you?" And a few seconds after that, he started down this obviously path that I was not in agreement with language that I could not listen to, and I kept on going by. But I said to myself, "You know what? That guy has never heard good Bible teaching." Well, he's heard someone shake a finger at him, maybe, something like that. Maybe even what was said was biblical in its nature. But he's never heard the gracious words of the gospel. I thought about that first statement. Can't we realize that we can't legislate morality? You know how what that is? That is an absolutely false statement. In fact, that guy should be very thankful that we have legislated morality. You know why? Carolyn, you know why? Aren't you glad that I'm not packing today? But if I had a pistol and I saw Carolyn over here yawning for just a second. Now, she won't do that. But I just caught her out of the corner of my eye yawning, and I said, you know what? That's an insult to me. I pull out my gun. Bang! That'll take care of her. Aren't you glad we have laws against that? See, that's a moral issue. And we've legislated against it. Last week, I threw my keys to you, Jordan. What would you think if I came up to you and said, give me your wallet? Now, it might be futile. There might not be anything in it. But weren't you glad there are laws on the books that said you can't go and take other people's property without their permission? It's called stealing. We've legislated morality. Oh, why do we legislate morality? Because it's always for the person's good. You see, this person is thinking that everything that the Bible says is constricting, it's inhibiting, it's reducing their freedom, it's keeping them from living and enjoying life. No, whatever the Bible says is always for a person's good. Whenever the Bible is being taught, good can come from it. That's why the people were pressing upon Jesus to hear the Word of God. They knew that good was going to come from it. And Jesus said, well, you know what, guys? I've been preaching. I've had enough of preaching. Go find somebody else to preach. No, he said to Peter, look, I've got a whole multitude of people here and I got to get the Word out to them. Peter, row out a little bit so I can minister to all of them for good. He caught a vision the Savior's heart. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I'll let down the net. Now understand what's going on. Peter was a professional fisherman. The Lord wasn't. At best, the Lord was a professional carpenter turned rabbi. If anyone knew how to fish, it was Peter. And conventional wisdom said you fish at night. See, what happens is during the day, the fish go down into the depths of the lake. They don't, I guess, apparently don't like the sun. But at night, they come up and feed at the surface. So if you're going to catch the fish, you got to fish at night. Because once the sun comes up, back down they go. They're out of the reach of your nets. And Peter was out all night fishing. When you're supposed to catch fish. And now the Lord's saying, Peter, it's morning here at least. I don't know exactly what time it was. But let's do it again. Well, Lord, it's not going to work. It's not the time to fish. We hear that a lot today, that Christ is good for spiritual things, but man is the authority on material things. 20. What man has ever created man? What man has ever created material things? Seems to me that the Bible tells me that God spoke and they all came into existence. Tell me who's the authority. Nonetheless, Peter, not only did he think to have superior intelligence, he was exhausted. We have toiled all the night, and I'm dead tired. I don't have much left in me. Lord, I'd like to do what you say, but just don't have the ability to do it. It's not going to work anyway. Well, the nets come up empty again. At least they won't be heaven. Tell you what, Lord, just to satisfy you, we'll go out and do it. How many of you have ever witnessed to another person and got no results? And then said, well, because I didn't get any results, why bother? Seems to be the common fare. Peter said, well, we'll give it one more shot. Notice in verse 5 he calls him master. The term there has no theological significance to it. It was just a common term of a person in some type of authority. But I want you to just draw note of that, because when we get down in verse 8, there's a word change. But nonetheless, Peter caught the authority of the Savior's voice. See, God has called us to be witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. He kind of has an idea of how this is going to work. And we say to ourselves, well, I'm not good at it. I don't have much. I've tried this before. It hasn't worked. Why bother? If you recognize that Jesus is in a position of authority, you will respond to his voice. Thirdly, you will catch the greatness of his power. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Can you imagine? You're going out there, you're exhausted, you're dejected, you're expecting nothing. You throw the net over the boat, and let's go get this over with. And all of a sudden, that thing is just overflowing with fish. As Chuck Swindoll said in his commentary, and they were all keepers. And the net starts breaking. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. Now, the only one ship had gone out there. Should have known at the master's command, they all should have gone out there, but only one ship went out, and now they're out there in the deep, and they're yelling to the guys back at the shore, come on out here and help us. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now, here they are, they're fishing all night, they catch nothing. They're not supposed to catch fish in the day, and they catch so many that both ships begin to go down in the water. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. The word depart does not necessarily mean put physical distance between you and I. But the idea is, you're laying a heavy load on me. Ease up. I've come to the realization that I am a sinful man. I recognized your power. Think of what's going on there. You have fishes. No, excuse me. Get grammatically correct. You have fish at the surface of the water that shouldn't be there. At a time they shouldn't be there. At a place where they shouldn't be. How'd that happen? What a coincidence, right? I don't think so. A sovereign God commanded those fishes to be there. Each and every one of them. Do you know God works in the hearts of people? He brings people to certain places at certain times in certain specific situations, so that they're ready to be caught for Christ. You just never know where that may be. You just never know when you're walking down the street who you're going to run into and what the need is going to be. And consequently, you always need to be prepared for a hope that lies within you. God works in people's lives. And Peter caught the greatness of the Savior's power. He became afraid. Verse 10. So also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, literally stop fearing. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. An occupation that Jesus had no, or that Peter had no expertise in. But he recognized that the heart of God was concerned about these people. That the voice of God had commanded him concerning these people. That the power of God would enable him to minister to these people. And then finally, he caught the priority of the Savior's work. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now that doesn't mean that what they were doing was wrong or was evil. It just means that what Christ called them to had a greater priority than what they were doing. I was teasing some folks. We'll be coming back, as I said earlier, from Florida next Sunday. We're only going to be an hour away from the Super Bowl stadium, and yet I'm not even going to get to see this thing, and my Eagles are in it. But we're flying home that morning. We'll be getting into Pittsburgh at supposedly at 11 o'clock, unless the flight is delayed, which means that we'll be home by 1 o'clock or thereabouts, which means that we'll be home in time for the Super Bowl. That's what you were going to say, wasn't it? That's not what I was thinking. We'll be home in time for the evening service. But you see, I'm on vacation next Sunday. And I don't have any responsibilities. Pastor Brian will be preaching. The Bible quiz for next week's already in the computer. It's there for him, so I don't have to do a thing. Since I am no responsibilities here, I can stay home and watch my Eagles win, Mike. I hope. Wait a minute. While I may not be on the clock next Sunday, I won't stop being a Christian. There is a greater priority to worship than there is to watch my Eagles win. That's why God created VCRs. Not that watching the Super Bowl is evil. It's just of less importance. And at 8 o'clock sharp, when Brian finishes, or sooner, I'll be out of here, racing home at world record speed. Now I won't be doing that. But it'll be after. Of highest priority. Folks, there is no greater priority in this life than sharing the Word of God with other people. You may say, well, I don't know much. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know enough. Sure, learn more. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But if you know that you're a sinner, that Christ died for, that the wages of sin is death, that Christ died for your sins and paid for them with His blood on Calvary's cross, and you've trusted Him as your Savior, you will know enough to lead another person to Christ. And if that's all that you know, that's all that's necessary. And the greatest priority of life is communicating that to somebody else, because the Savior's heart wants you to do that, and the Savior's voice has commanded you to do that, and the Savior's power has enabled you to do that. Now let's do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we stand and sit here this morning without excuse before you. If we know Christ as our Savior, we have sufficient knowledge, no matter how small that knowledge may be, we have sufficient knowledge to share with another all that's necessary to change their eternity. We have a command that has been given to us. We have an enablement of a sovereign God in heaven who watches over us. Father, I pray that your great commission will not be our great omission. Father, maybe there's one here this morning that would say, Lord, I have not been doing what you've called me to do, whether for quote unquote good reasons or not. I've been scared. I've been thinking that I can't do this. I didn't know that I was supposed to be doing it. Whatever the reasons may be, may that one now yield themselves to the priority of being a fisher of men. Father, encourage each and every one of us with this message this morning. I take heart that Jesus did not say to Peter, you should be a fisher of men, but that from henceforth you shall, indicating accomplishment, catch men. Lord, we can do what you've commanded us to do by your enablement. Find us faithful to do it. In Jesus' name I pray.